Well, good evening, everybody. It's great to be here, and it's great to see all of you here. We feel blessed to be here and to have such a large contingent of parents, alumni, and friends. This is the Conversation Series. We're taking it around the country. We've spent some time in the state of Texas doing this with the president and the chairman, and so we're thrilled to be here in Denver. We're going to be in Atlanta tomorrow and off to California at some point in early June and Washington, D.C., and so, but we're excited to be here tonight. My name is Dave Roselli. I'm the vice president of advancement, and we're going to have an opportunity tonight to have a conversation. You'll hear from our president, from our chairman. It'll be a moderated discussion, and we encourage you to think about questions that you might want to pose and ask as we get into that part of the conversation of the series a little bit later. So that'll be a half hour or so into it. At this point, I'd like to say a blessing, a prayer, if you would join me in that as I get things underway. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this group of parents, alums, friends, students that are here that love Baylor and are interested in Baylor's future. I pray that tonight you would keep those that are still traveling here safe. Keep all of us here as we go and leave this place tonight, go home safe. Look after our travels. I pray that your spirit would bless this conversation tonight. Bless the president and lead the president in the dialogue and the chairman. And I pray that we would be led by your spirit and that we'd be mindful that Baylor is a city on a hill and a light for the entire world to see, and that we carry that responsibility seriously and we take that very close to heart. So thank you, Father. We ask that you would bless this time tonight, and for those that are having a meal, you're nourishing that food to their bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So I'd like to introduce to you our panel. First, I'll start with our moderator. This is Jason Cook. Jason came to Baylor a little over a year ago in December of 2016. And he is not a Baylor grad, but he loves Baylor. In fact, he was a camper at Baylor when he was in high school. So Baylor's in his blood. And he's the mastermind, by the way, behind our Lights campaign, which many of you have seen. It's a wonderful campaign that Jason has been cooking up in his kitchen. So thank you for that, Jason.
And he was a Texas A&M Aggie, and he saw the light.
There you go. Very nice.
Right.
There you go.
That's exactly right. By the way, before I introduce the chairman and the president, how many here are alums of Baylor? Beautiful. How many are parents? Love it. How many are parents and alums?
Very good.
Excellent. And how many are new students starting in the fall of 2018?
Yay!
We are so glad that you're here, and you're going to have a wonderful time at Baylor. So we're joined on the stage by our chairman of the board, Joel Allison. Joel was a 40-year tenured member in the healthcare industry and spent a couple of decades or more at as the CEO of Baylor Scott and White Health in the state of Texas, and is now the chairman of our Board of Regents, is a resident of Waco. He was in Dallas, and he saw the light and is now living in Waco, Texas. And of course, you know our esteemed president, our 15th president, who is with us starting June 1st, so it hasn't quite been a year. This is our second national tour, but the first time in large masses of folks. We had little small gatherings last summer. And she arrived with tons of experience just at the right time. Spent time, as you know, at Pepperdine and George Washington, and also had over a dozen years at Baylor in the business school, was a dean at Pepperdine and George Washington. So We are thrilled to have her, and she is the students absolutely adore her. Most of them have a selfie with her already. And so you students that are here tonight, you're going to have to get a selfie with her, because that's kind of the trend. So we're, again, thrilled that you're here, and hope you enjoy the conversation series.
Jason? Thank you very much, Dave. And we could not be more excited to be here tonight. It's always good to get outside of Waco, get outside of the state of Texas, and to visit with members of the Baylor family who we don't get to see very often. So we could not be more excited to be here tonight. So what we're going to do is we've got some questions about the state of the university, just give you an idea of what's going on campus and what we're working on. And as Dave mentioned, this is part of the Baylor Conversation Series. We've been to Waco, obviously. We've done Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth. We've got Austin on tap, and then Atlanta tomorrow night, California, Washington, D.C. We're going to be all over the place. But it's good to visit with our alumni, with our parents, with our friends, and especially prospective students. So we're so excited to see so many people. And Dave is exactly right. You have to come and get a selfie with the president. That is part of the price of admission tonight, for sure. So we're going to have a fireside chat tonight and tell you some things about what are going on at Baylor. And of course, we want to ask for you guys to ask questions from us at the end. So be thinking of some things that you're curious about, of what's going on within our family, and we'll be more than happy to have an opportunity for the president and the chairman to ask those or answer those questions for you. We do have a recording of tonight's conversation series that we'll post on the president's website. We know that a lot of people can't get here, and so we are posting them online so people can listen and get a good idea of what our conversation was this evening. So with that said, we're going to start with the president, obviously, nearing year one, the completion of year one. How would you characterize your first year in the corner office of Pat Neufall? And what would you say has impressed you the most during this first year?
Sure. Well, I have to say it's been a really fabulous first year. I've been really so warmly received by everyone, and my family has, and our daughter who's at Rice actually wears Baylor stuff when she's on campus, so we've gotten her roped into this too, and so we're having a tremendous amount of fun, and I think feeling like we're accomplishing a lot, which I know we're going to talk more about. But I have to say that as I've been out around our family and friends and alumni, they're just really excited about what's going on at the institution. They are looking to the future, and they really want to be as helpful as they can. People love Baylor so deeply, and they want the university to be successful and to move forward. So that's been very exciting. And of course, you heard about the students who love to take pictures with me and my family, and they're so gracious, and I couldn't ask for a student population that has been more loving towards us and made us feel so welcome. In fact, yesterday was an interesting day on campus. We had all kinds of interesting student events. So my husband and I started in the morning. It was our last day of dead days of students studying before finals started. So we handed out breakfast tacos in the library to students, and we thought that was a good way to get them a little energy started with the day. And so we had great fun handing those out. We had our ring ceremony for our seniors where we gave them their senior rings. And that's a really moving ceremony, and you get to hear all the traditions of the ring that are so special. And then I concluded the evening with the commissioning of our students who are going to summer camps to be counselors. We have over 500 students from Baylor that are going to be counselors at camps all across the country, probably even some outside of the United States. So we commissioned them for their service last night. I know we have a parent or two in the room that had children there last night, and so that was great fun. So the students have been wonderful. We've loved that. And then the faculty and staff have been great to work with. I knew many of them because I'd been at Baylor for a long time before that. They've worked hard this year on the work that we're doing, and so everybody's been wonderful and really rolled up their sleeves and helped us accomplish a lot this year.
Now, you did not mention one thing about yesterday.
Yes.
It was her birthday. Yesterday.
And the entire world knows that.
Yes, yeah. Now. So a special playing of Happy Birthday on the carillon.
I know. I mean, how many people get the carillons to play Happy Birthday for them? It was very special. It was great. And the other thing, the kids last night at the camp thing, I don't know if your kids have ever been camp counselors. Every camp has their own Happy Birthday song. So we had kids from probably 15 camps there last night. So they all sang their special birthday camp song to me all together at the same time. So it was just chaotic, but it was really very special. So that was very cool. it was a great birthday.
So one more question, and then we'll get to Chairman Allison. How would you describe just the current state of affairs at Baylor? Because there's so many good things happening on the campus right now.
Well, one of the things that I noticed as I came back is just how strong and resilient Baylor is. We've obviously had a couple of years that were really very difficult for the university, and yet through all of that, the university has remained very healthy and strong. And there's certainly some, I know that anecdotally by talking to our students and our faculty and our friends, but you also, there are metrics that tell us that I think are very important. One, our enrollment has remained very strong. Last fall's enrollment, our target was about 3,300 students. That's what we brought in. It was our most diverse class ever, one of our top two or three most qualified classes academically. And so a wonderful group that we brought in last fall. Our numbers are tracking really well for this coming fall. Again, we're hoping for a class of 3,400. I'm not sure, we may actually be a little above that. And again, a very diverse class. This may actually be our most academically qualified class ever, so commendations to those of you in the audience that are helping to raise that profile. And what that says is that people know Baylor, they know how unique we are, and that there's a lot of excitement about people coming to our campus and being a part of that as students. So we're excited about that. Our fundraising has been very consistent for the last 6 or 7 years. We've raised over $100 million every year, including last year. We're tracking to do probably at least that much this year. So giving has remained very, very strong. And our endowment earnings were very, very strong last year. So if you look at all of the metrics that matter in terms of the health of a university, they have been very strong. So we feel really good about where we are. We're positioned very well to look to the future and do some really exciting things.
You bet. Now, one thing we want to talk about is the academic strategic plan in a few minutes. But Chairman Allison, how would you characterize the leadership under President Livingstone? I'm going to put her on the hot seat here in the middle. But
do I need to leave the room?
No. You've seen a lot of executives throughout your career, and the perspective of the board on how are things at Baylor in under the leadership of Dr.
Thank
Livingstone.
Thank you, Jason, and good evening, and thank you all for being here. It's really a pleasure for us to be here in beautiful Colorado, and thank you for commitment to Baylor. Thank you for your love and your support of Baylor, and it's really a pleasure to be here. I stepped in as chair at the same time Dr. Livingstone was coming on board, so we've had a full year in our roles, and I was also part of the search process when we chose Dr. Livingstone. And as Jason said, I've had the privilege of working with a lot of very strong executive CEOs, and I will put her at the top of the list. She is an outstanding leader. I would tell you that if you went and looked at the criteria we had set out when looking for a new president, Dr. Livingstone hit every one. And at the top of the list was we wanted someone who was an unapologetic Christian. And secondly, was someone who understood complex organizations, had experience. But more importantly, we were looking for the type of leader that we needed for Baylor at this time. And if you go Google servant leader, you'll see her picture. She is truly a servant leader. And we have been blessed. Truly believe she was called by God to be at Baylor. She's the right person at the right time. As you all heard, students love her. I won't even walk across campus with her because they knock me out of the way to get to her and take her picture. So she is very engaged. A very humble leader, which I think is a tremendous trait. She's very authentic. And she is what I call a 24/7. I've got a friend here in healthcare. We were always considered 24/7. And she is very much excited about what is going on at Baylor, is a great leader, and the board is very, very supportive of Dr. Livingstone. She knows how to manage. She knows how to... she's building her team. She's got a couple of key positions, but she's doing a great job building her team and putting that in place. And I could not be more positive. And it's been a great, for me, it's been a great partnership because I've always been taught that one of the most important things for a high-performing, well-run organization is the relationship between the CEO and the chair. And from my standpoint, I'll let her speak for herself, we have a great working relationship. She is in charge, she's running, and she has the board behind her to be able to lead the university. And we couldn't be more proud of Dr. Livingstone and what she's done this past year. So. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, we talk about Baylor moving forward, and it's been very accelerated since you came on.
Yes.
You're working all of us to death, but,
well,
but it's very
that,
accelerated.
Yeah.
but one key component is, as you move forward, you've got to have a plan
right.
as part of that. And so we have started an academic strategic planning process that includes all the faculty and staff and input from the administration. It's going to be our roadmap for the next 5 years. So what can you share with us about the academic strategic plan and what's important for the Baylor family to know about
sure.
that?
Yeah, we've spent a lot of time over the last 10 months really working on this plan. And if you've been paying much attention to Baylor over the last few years, we've had a vision statement called Pro Futurus. And that vision statement is really aspirational. And it speaks to how we want to be a preeminent university, one of the top universities in the country, while strengthening our Christian mission, maintaining the integrity of our Christian mission. If we do that, we will hold a very unique place in higher education. Most top universities in this country were Christian at one point, most of the private ones, and they drifted away from that. Our intent is to move towards those same ranks, but to maintain the integrity of our Christian mission. We believe deeply that we need Christian universities at that level, and we believe that we still can do that and maintain the integrity of our mission. And so that vision was developed about 5 years ago. Over the last 5 years, there's been a lot of work done kind of operationally around that, student success, graduation rates, quality and diversity of the student body. We built a number of facilities on our campus, including the Foster campus, which is our business facility, which is amazing, the McLean Stadium for our football team. And so that work has been very good. Now what we're doing is building out the second 5 years of that plan, and that is really our academic strategic plan, where we're going to focus on the work of our faculty and our academic programs. We are calling that plan Illuminate. It flows from all this light talk that we've been having. And we really reference the scripture in Matthew that talks about how we need to be light to the world and we need to share our light with others. And we believe a university like Baylor with those aspirations can shed light in a very important and different way than any other university in the country can. So we are working on building out that plan. We presented a draft of the plan to the board in February. We've been fleshing out more details of that, and we have a board meeting next week. And so we will be presenting kind of the final version of that to the board for kind of affirmation and acceptance next week so that we can roll up our sleeves over the summer after we take a little bit of break and give you guys a rest, yeah, and really get started implementing that in the fall. So we're really excited about it. There's a lot of good work that's gone into it, and I think there's an exciting future ahead for Baylor.
So tonight's conversation kind of comes at a perfect time because next week we have a Board of Regents meeting. So we do have one of our regents who's in attendance tonight.
Yes.
Dusty.
Where's Dusty?
Raise your hand. There he is.
Yes. So thank you. Great. Amen. Thanks for coming tonight.
Thanks, Dusty.
But I'm going to kind of get ahead of the regents meeting a little bit, and I'm going to ask President Livingstone to share some details of Illuminate in advance of the board meeting next week. So what are some things that we're kind of building the plan around that would relate to our attendees tonight?
So we have four pillars that sort of underlie and support the plan, and then we have five kind of strategic academic initiatives or key themes that are flowing into the plan. So the four pillars are really critical to us. One is that we are going to continue to provide a unambiguously Christian learning environment and experience for our students. That's foundational and core to everything we're doing. We will also continue to grow and develop the transformative undergraduate learning experience that our students have. That has been kind of the core of who Baylor has been for many years. It will continue to be critically important to us. We will enhance our research profile and our graduate programs profile to build your reputation academically, which gives you influence in the academic world, in the policy world, in the business world. Doing more research, more high-level graduate programs is really important, and so we will do that. And then we will also continue to enhance programs that focus on human performance and do it at a nationally respected level in the arts and in athletics. We get a lot of visibility from our student athletes, from our students that perform in our music school and our theater program. They are sometimes the most visible view of the university that people see, and so we will do those well, we will do them right. And those foundational principles sort of underpin all of the rest of the plan. And then there are five academic themes that flow through the plan. These are all interdisciplinary, so they cut across our schools and colleges. They are all areas where we have existing strength, and by investing additional resources in them, they can really kind of leapfrog our reputation and our quality. And we believe they're all areas where there is significant impact we can make in a way that makes the world a better place. And so those five are global health. About a third, probably some of the students in the room, come to us wanting to be pre-med, pre-health in some form or fashion. We have a lot of faculty doing research. We do a lot of work on kind of environmental, social, community determinants of health. We do a lot of policy work in that area. It's going to be a really big initiative for us. We can partner with Baylor College of Medicine, with Baylor Scott and White. So we have some great partners with our name that we share that can really help us leverage that. Data science is going to be a second important theme for us. There's not a field in the world today that data analytics and data science isn't important to helping us understand the information that's out there and how to use it to make good decisions. And there's going to be tons of jobs in that area and tons of opportunity across almost every discipline at Baylor. So we're going to build out that area. Material science is a third area. It really builds on some strength we have in the sciences and engineering, and it cuts across a lot of areas. We do a lot of aerospace research that looks at the materials you design airplanes out of. We do work in chemistry around materials that can be important to help make products better and lighter and all. So that will be an area that will help us. All three of those have a lot of influence in the STEM areas, which are critically important to building your national reputation. The fourth area is human flourishing and ethics, and that really builds on our care and concern for individuals, communities, and societies, and how we build healthier environments for people to live and work in. And that can be in the United States locally, or it can flow into other parts of the world where clearly we do an awful lot of work, and particularly mission work and research that can be important to helping those communities to be safer and healthier. And then the final area is in Baylor in Latin America. And because of where we're positioned in Texas, of course, the Hispanic and Latino populations are growing dramatically in that area. We're obviously positioned just across the border from Latin America. We probably have at least 40 faculty on our campus already doing research in that area, human trafficking issues, economic development, building healthy church communities in the Latino and Hispanic communities. It really cuts across almost every area of the institution. And then underpinning that will be a financial model that will include trying to maintain a steady undergraduate population, not growing it, relatively modest tuition increases, and then achieving our aspirations by growing resources in graduate and professional education, funded research, and then a comprehensive campaign that will launch in the fall that will really help fund and grow our endowment. And then there's also a facilities plan that's embedded in that, because we're going to need some new facilities, particularly in the academic areas, to support the growth in some of our programs and our research. So there's a lot in it, and we're excited about the board seeing. Well, I think they've got a draft of it in their mailboxes right now that they're reading before next week, and we'll be excited to talk about that next week and hopefully get approval to move forward.
Certainly. So, Chairman Allison, you've had a look at the strategic plan so far. You know, as a Baylor alum, right, you know, looking at historical strengths of the university, what was your response, and what are a couple of takeaways from Illuminate that you see so far?
Well, it lit me up. I got excited, and it is a very exciting strategic plan, and it's great from a board's perspective that we're able to spend time on strategy. That's one of the responsibilities of the board, is working with the president and her staff, is doing strategy. And so it's very exciting. The board was very impressed when it was presented in its draft form in February. It's been one of those that Dr. Livingstone has done a great job with her team, including the deans, and we had a dinner one of the evenings during our board meeting with the deans, and be able to get more input, and she drew more input from the board. We've had a lot of opportunity to discuss it. As you've heard, it's a very exciting, it's very forward-thinking, and from a strategic standpoint, it really is something that the board's excited about because it gives us a focus, it gives us a future direction that's she's done a great job articulating it as well. So looking forward to next week, and I think our board is going to be very excited to hear kind of from the input that was given in February and from the discussions, what comes forward then for us to move forward with.
And certainly. So we've had a lot of changes with the board over the mm-hmm. past couple of years. A new slate of governance reforms that you instituted, and one thing that really impresses me is that you've come in as chairman over the past year, and you have a very unique way of guiding the board for decision making. Your four non-negotiables. So I think it's very, very interesting. It really speaks to who we are as an institution. So tell us a little bit about some of those changes and the decision-making process that we go through as an institution.
Sure. Thank you. Yes, as Jason said, we went through a governance review by a task force that was appointed to look at our governance structure. We realized that we wanted to get to best practice. And we had three regents that were on the governance reform task force, chaired by a non-region, and these were strong CEOs of major companies, been chairs of boards as well. And they brought forth a list of some opportunities for us to be better at what we do as board members. And to really, our goal this last year, and we had the Association of Governing Boards come in and work with us in July and really help us moving forward and basically looking at what good boards do. And we want the board to be the board, management to be management. And Lynn and I have a common agreement. My job's keep the board in their lane, and her job's keep staff in their lane. And so we work very well doing that. But a board has basically, three responsibilities. One is a fiduciary responsibility. That's given oversight. And you look at that, you look at your budget, your finances, and make sure the operation's running well, as Dr. Livingstone and their staff bring that forward. The second one is strategic responsibility, and we are responsible for approving the strategic plan. That's the foresight that is brought forward by Dr. Livingstone and her team. And the third area is what we call generative, and that's to give insight so that she can draw on the different experiences of our board. We now have 41 voting members and one ex officio, which is a first-year student. We have two students, and so we have 41 voting members, and she can draw on all the different expertise in different areas from those with the generative discussion. And that's where the board should be spending their time, is looking forward, giving foresight, and helping Dr. Livingstone. And we also talked about how would we make decisions as a board, as Jason mentioned. And so we adopted, and Linda was very supportive and adopted it for her management team as well. So it runs from the board through management. Our four non-negotiables, and we agreed on these. When we come to a decision, we're going to ask four questions. Number one, if we make this decision, will it keep Baylor a Christ-centered university? Number two, if we make this decision, will it continue to reflect the mission and enhance the mission of Baylor University? Third, will the decision reflect the values and the convictions of Baylor University? And then the fourth is it the right thing for the right reason? And so whenever we are brought a decision to be made as a board, and we run those decisions through those four screens and ask those four questions, we can say yes, 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 yes. We feel like most of the time, if not all the time, we'd make a good decision for the future of Baylor University. And Linda's been very supportive of that with her team as well. So, again, the responsibility of the board is to be the board and to do those three major functions. And we've got a great leader that is leading the university, and I am so thankful that she is running the university. And that's the way it should be.
Most days I am, too. No. We're having a good time. It's going well.
The interesting thing is I came, as you heard, from healthcare. And I told Linda, I said, I thought healthcare was the most regulated, complicated industry in the country. I'm wrong. Very wrong. It's academics. And I was reading something today.
It was General McCraven.
General McCraven.
Just
Admiral
stepped
McCraven.
Down from being the chancellor of the Texas system.
And he said that after his time as chancellor, and this was a SEAL, admiral, I mean, he said, president of the university is the toughest job in the nation. And I would agree. I thought it was health care. No.
He actually included health care, though, in his comment. But they have a health care system, too.
Yeah, they had to do that. Too.
So he said, yeah, education and health care are the two
and
hardest.
And we're very similar in many respects, which is interesting. But, no, that is the toughest job. Yeah. And it's complex and heavily, as you know, regulated. We have a lot of forces coming at us. But we are just blessed to have Dr. Livingstone leading us because she manages through all those. Challenges and opportunities, a lot of opportunities.
Absolutely.
I want to make sure some of our prospective students have a chance to ask some questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
So be thinking, we may call on you in a little bit. But Dr. Livingstone, I have one final question for you. You know, we talked a little bit about light and
sure.
how it's been important. And I'm sure some people have seen some crazy things on social media that our campus is green, Judge Baylor is green, everything is green on our campus. But give us a little bit more insight of really what the campaign is about and what we're trying to
sure,
do.
Sure, absolutely. You might have even seen me on my husband's shoulders in one of those words that's
a
spread across
the
campus.
Eye. It was the a eye.
Tall eye. The eye in light. Yeah, it was a very tall eye. So
when she gets on her husband's shoulders, you can hardly see him. There he is. That's
so
a big eye.
My husband is 6'10", so just getting on his shoulders was a bit of a challenge. But and this is parents, this is what happens when you listen to your children. You will do things that you really shouldn't be doing. So be careful when you listen to your college-age kids. But yes, we've been having this wonderful campaign around where light shine bright. And as we've been talking about tonight, we believe Baylor is a place where light shine bright and can shine even brighter and have an even more significant impact around the world. And so we've had this campaign going since January. We kicked it off this week. Students came back from campus or to campus. We had fun things going on, a couple of men's and women's basketball game. We've lit up the benches around campus. We have these words around campus you can put yourself into, and they light up at night. And so we've had tons of fun with it. We've particularly this spring, and those of you that are going to be freshmen next year may notice this from all the materials you got from us this spring, we really emphasized the recruitment process and kind of closing our students for the fall in that lights campaign because we want to bring lots more of these wonderful bright lights to our campus. As we go into the summer, we're going to shift that a little bit. We'll probably tie it more to some of the initiatives out of the academic strategic plan after that's approved and really focus on the direction we're going academically. But it's been a tremendous opportunity. And the fun thing is the campus and everybody has caught on to it. I mean, I get emails with pictures where people talk about how their light's shining bright. Almost every event that I go to on campus, whether we've had anything to do with organizing it, that light theme comes out. So it really has resonated with our community, both on and off campus. And so we're excited about it. And so we'll be excited to roll out the Illuminate strategic plan and really continue to build on that theme in the months and years ahead.
So your special jacket could not fit in your suitcase tonight, Dad.
Were any of you at Premier that freezing cold weekend in Waco?
Yes. A couple of
you guys got to see my special Baylor lights jacket. So the Friday before, the Premier is a big weekend that we have on campus in the spring for prospective students. And we had almost 5,500 folks on campus that weekend. It was freezing cold. Wind was blowing. It was
Chamber
awful.
Of Commerce.
Yeah, thing. Chamber. It was 80 the day before and sunny, and then it was like in the 20s the next day. But so the day before, the folks we've been working with on this lights campaign brought me a gift to my office, and it was a like a garment bag, and I'm thinking, what is this? And so I unzipped and opened it up, and they had a custom made blazer made for me that had lights inside and around the bottom. It had lights inside the cuffs. It had a really cool Baylor seal or logo here. And I had a little button in here. And when I pushed it, it started blinking. And I pushed it again. It blinked really fast. And so I got to demonstrate it for everybody that day. It was really quite fun. I haven't quite decided where to wear it again. But it's a special jacket that no one else in the world has one quite like it. So I feel very important.
It made an impact.
It did. It made a big impact.
Chairman Allison, any concluding words before we start Q&A?
Just want to say thank you again for your support. Thank you to those students coming in and those who might be coming in the future. We appreciate that. And I might mention, we talked about the strategic plan and, you know, becoming a Tier 1 Christian Research University, as Dr. Livingstone talked about. There was always going to be a question about the undergraduate. Let me assure you, the emphasis will still be very strong for, in particular, those that went through an undergraduate. I'm just thankful I got in when I did. But seriously, we're still going to focus with the undergraduate through teaching and mentoring and really doing character formation, because that is one of the real strengths of Baylor. And so it's all ties together. And
absolutely.
So those of you coming in, you're going to have some exciting times. And again, thank you all. It's wonderful to be able to partner with Dr. Livingstone, and just want you to know the university is in great hands. She is doing a fabulous job, and we just hope that you will continue to pray for us, pray for our students, our faculty, our staff. I've had the privilege of meeting so many of them now that my wife moved me to Waco, and they are absolutely phenomenal. And the students that I've visited with across campus are having a great experience. So thank you all for your support, your prayers, and for loving Baylor.
Good. All right, so we do have a microphone here. And so if you have a question, raise your hand. We will ask you to tell us your name and your affiliation, if you're an alum, a parent, a friend of the university, prospective student. And we would be more than willing to take some questions.
Lisa Lodge, I am an alum, and I have a student there right now. And back in the day when I went there, we, for whatever reason, broke from the Baptist General Convention. Not sure the reasons, but I am curious, you know, you're staying true to the Christian roots. I'm not Baptist, but staying true to your Christian roots, do you foresee having to make any decisions like that? I don't know, you know, in the future. And kind of related to that, as far as hiring, you know, professors and whatnot, do you have standards or whatever that they have to meet and whatnot? So,
sure. So we actually still have an affiliation with the Baptist General Convention of Texas, and they appoint 25% of our region-appointed regents. We have some other categories of regents, but it's about six or seven regents.
One of them.
Yeah, he's one of them. So six or seven of our regents are still appointed by the BGCT. We also have a requirement that all of our regents have to be committed Christians. They have to speak to how they're engaged in a church community. 75% of our regents have to still be of the Baptist faith, and 25% can be from other Christian faiths. So we still have a very strong connectedness in our regents. And if you look at universities and how they began to drift away from their Christian faith, it has to do with, you know, beginning to have a board that isn't committed to that, beginning to have leadership. So it has to start at the top. So as long the board is deeply committed to that, it's an important part of that institution. You've always got to hire administrators and faculty and staff that care about the mission. So we absolutely, when we interview faculty and staff, we talk to them about their Christian faith. We talk to them about how they're engaged in a church faith community. We ask them how they see that faith playing out in the context of being at Baylor. Many of them have never been in a Christian organization. A lot of academic institutions are not. A lot of their PhD programs were not. So sometimes they don't exactly know what that experience is going to be like, but we want them to want to be at a place like Baylor where they can live out their faith through their work as well. And we've actually found a lot of faculty, really some very prominent faculty who are at exceptionally prominent institutions, wanting to come to Baylor because they can really integrate their faith life and their work life. And so we're deeply committed to that. The board is deeply committed to that. And so it will continue to be a very important part of who we are in our hiring practices.
And the BGCT is very supportive. We've got a great relationship, very supportive of the university, particularly our Truett Seminary. They really are very supportive, and so we have a great relationship, we believe, with the BGCT still, even though there was a movement away, to your point, please.
Hi. Hi, Jim Schauer from Northern Colorado. So our oldest daughter will be attending Baylor in the fall.
Oh, wonderful. Good.
So we're kind of scared and all that. But I'm sorry. Similar to like a job interview, right? So you know, you told us all about the positive things. Can you talk about some of the challenges you've had in your first year? And I don't necessarily want to talk about challenges I hear in the media and stuff like right. that. But are there? I don't want to sound negative. There has to be some challenges. I'm curious what kind of challenges Baylor has.
Well, I don't know that our challenges are actually that unique compared to any other institution of higher education. I mean, we obviously, one of the things we've been focusing a lot on as other universities have is ensuring that our campus environment is a safe and healthy environment for our students and our faculty and staff. We've had challenges with that in the past, so we're working very hard on that. And so we do tons of training with our students and our faculty and staff, and we spend a lot of time talking about what it means to show Christian care and concern and love for one another and how to be safe and how to make sure that's happening. So I think that's something that we put a lot of time and attention into. We continue to think about how, as our student body becomes more diverse and as we seek to diversify our faculty, you know, how we not only look more diverse, but we really are in an environment where students from all ethnic groups, men and women, can feel comfortable and engaged in our community, and I think we've made great progress on that as well. I'm trying to think what else.
One other thing I would mention that the board and Dr. Livingston was talking about is our tuition rate.
Yeah.
Everybody's concerned about the high cost of education, higher education, the debts, and so one of the things that we want to do, we continue to focus on that, how, since we are at this point tuition-based revenues, how do we make sure that we still make it available to all of our students and all families? And so one of the things that we're getting ready to do as a part of the strategic plan is we're going to have a significant capital campaign. Mr. Roselli would be happy to talk to you about that. So anybody that wants to start thinking about how we can lower the cost of our tuition by having a stronger endowment, seriously, we'd like to have a much stronger endowment. There's a lot of competition for students, and we're concerned that we don't want to lose out by the cost being prohibitive. So we spend a lot of time talking about that, but one of the great opportunities will be with the strategic plan and a significant $1.3 billion capital campaign to go with that as well.
The other thing I would add is, and Chairman Allison mentioned this earlier, one of the things I did when I came in was look at my leadership team. I think one of the most important things you do when you run an organization is make sure you have the right leadership team in place. And so we spent a lot of time this year kind of realigning my president's council in terms of the membership. We do have two really key positions that we're in the process of recruiting for, our provost, who's our chief academic officer, and then our chief business officer, kind of chief operating officer position. And so we've spent a lot of time building that team and then trying to find the right people to put into that so that as we kind of go through the summer and move into the fall, we'll kind of have that piece finally put together. So we've made great progress on that. The team's working really very well right now, but that will also be kind of two final pieces in that leadership team that will be really valuable to us as we work into launching the academic strategic plan.
I'm Carol Perry. I am the parent of a 2010 graduate, and myself, along with the Pilchers, were a former president of the Parents League here in Colorado. And what I would like to know is two things. One, what are the stats now in terms of the number of students that apply to Baylor? Because I know I had heard it was like 38,000, and I was just curious if that was, if you all knew what that number was. And then the second thing was, for those organizations, and Jeanette, I'm kind of taking your moment there. One of the other things that is of concern that I happen to have heard tonight is that there had been a mandate that had been issued that we, as a group of parents of Baylor students and the women's group, were no longer allowed to use that name, and that we also did not exist anymore. Is that true?
Okay, I'm going to defer both of those questions to some of my colleagues in the room. So first question, what
in terms of
application numbers?
So applications, we
We're actually pretty steady with where we were last year. We're bumping 40,000 from an application standpoint. What's interesting for this year is we had more inquiries to Baylor than we've ever had in our history. And so it's not necessarily just an application, but people contacting us, requesting, making a phone call, submitting, wanting information from us. We had over 200,000 prospective students want information from Baylor. So it's continuing to grow. And I think that one thing that we're looking at that might be important for this audience is our out-of-state students for this coming fall's class. We're looking close to about 40% out of state as well. So huge population from here in Colorado and in California as well. So so we're still that national brand, that national visibility and reputation that Baylor has continues to grow.
And I'm going to defer the second question to Dave Roselli.
And I'm not sure what the genesis is of that particular rumor, but the here's the reality. The reality is that parent programs is something that we've poured more resources into. Couldn't be more proud of the parents' network and what it has accomplished, and in fact want it to continue to grow and put more resources into the parent network, which is now aligned with our parent philanthropy umbrella. It's all under advancement now. That's point A. Point B, in terms of the women's network, couldn't be more excited about the women's network and what it's doing in the state of Texas, and would love to be able to grow it beyond the state of Texas. Yes.
I'm Janine Holt. I was the co-chair of the Baylor Women's Group in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
And about 2 years ago, when I called Baylor to get some assistance setting up an event, we were told that we were no longer in existence.
Okay.
And after some, and I'm sorry, I lost track of names, but we had a very active group of about 75 women, and we didn't have a huge scholarship fund, but it was contributing every semester to a scholarship for a student to attend Baylor. That fund was absorbed, and I've not been able to do anything more with that. And I would just like to...
I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah,
I couldn't be more opposed to that type of philosophy. Now, I've taken over just in the last 6 months over the alumni engagement area, so we've kind of merged advancement and alumni affairs. We absolutely can chat, because the parents' network and the women's network and all of our volunteers inside the state of Texas, outside the state of Texas, are crucial and
absolutely
critical for us as we move into this new terrain that President and the Chairman are talking about, and I'm a huge proponent.
Well, and let me say, Dave mentioned this, one of the changes we made when I got there is when we looked across the institution, there were several areas that we realized we were not coordinating well, and we were probably stepping on each other's toes, and probably some things like this happened that shouldn't have, and so we did integrate our our development fundraising function with our alumni relations function. That's a best practice in the industry, so you can make sure those areas are coordinating, and so things like that don't get lost somehow in that shuffle. And so we're actually soon going to hire a associate vice president over that area, so we'll bring more structure to that, more leadership. So we're feeling really good about that, and hopefully we can work through some of these issues that were challenges in the past. The other area that we've worked on that's probably more regional or local around Baylor is we had community engagement people in, like, I don't know, three or four places across campus, and no one really knew how we were engaging with Waco and the broader community. So we've consolidated all that together in a community relations area within the institution under Jason's leadership, and we've just appointed an associate vice president for that. He starts June 1. And so that will really also help us with our community engagement locally in Waco, and then what we're doing in Dave's area will help us coordinate better our relationships with alumni and friends all across the country. So those were two areas where we were not coordinating well and had things slipping through the cracks, and that those both of those moves I think are going to be very good for us.
And just one final comment, the master plan is to re-engage and reinvigorate the network clubs in key cities, Denver being one of the key cities. We've got about a dozen around the country that we're going to spend the next 12 to 18 months re-engaging and reinvigorating, so that we do have these volunteers that are ready to go when we come into the region.
Thanks for asking that question. That's helpful for us to hear that.
My name is Linda Bunnell. I'm a third generation Baylor graduate, so I have a lot invested in those stones. They speak to me. I want to ask, and I was delighted to hear Chairman Allison speak of affordability. Mm-hmm. That concerns me deeply because when my grandparents and grandparents and great-grandparents went to Baylor, it was affordability was very important to them. I'd like to know if you have these numbers off the top of your head. You may not. What has been the last 5 years, what's your endowment been producing? I don't mean additions to it. I mean, how are your investments doing?
Sure.
Yeah.
And two, what are you doing with them? Are you putting them into, are you rolling them back into your investments? Or are you, your endowment, or are you using them for operating expenses? Or for, does the board have a policy with regard to how much you will spend down the endowment every year? I have heard rumors of how many settlements you have paid out to faculty to get them to leave quietly. I do understand and remain shocked at the, how shall I say it, at the compensation that the retiring president received as the severance agreement. I hope it's not true. It was printed in the Chronicle of Higher Education, which is a publication one can believe in. So let's don't talk about that, but let's talk about the endowment. Let's talk about its growth and how you use it. That's important to me as a donor, a potential donor, and as having generations of my family who have donated.
Sure. Do you want to speak to the board?
Let me speak to the board, and it's a great question. Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
Can y'all hear? Yeah. I should be. Number one, to your point about the investments and the endowment, it's continued to do well, grow. We have an investment committee of the board as a part of finance and facilities. And they look every month, really, at the investments and how we're doing. We've been blessed, as you know, with a good market, and we've had some good results. That is really mostly applied for our scholarships and for other purposes as a designated. Dave can tell you that. So we continue to see the endowment grow, and that's why we want to grow the endowment, because a lot of that is used for scholarships. And what, in our terminology, we use is discount rate, which is, in healthcare, it was you got these bill charges, but you only get paid so much. Well, that's kind of the way it works in scholarship. Here's the rate, but we also have a discount to give scholarships and allow that to happen. I'm as concerned as many of our folks are about the cost and the rising. That's why we want to make this strategic plan align with the campaign. I wouldn't have been able to go to Baylor had I not had a scholarship. So I'm very, very partial to scholarships. I mean, honestly, would never have had that opportunity. So it means a lot. We're looking at alternative revenues. Dr. Livingstone and her strategic plan is looking at other sources of revenues to help us manage that, so it's not just tuition-based revenues. And that's one of, the exciting parts of this. And you probably can speak to that better than I can. But we do have people, and the board has oversight. It's part of our fiduciary responsibility of how our investments are doing, how the money is spent. And that's always going to be important while we at the same time trying to manage the costs. Because there's some special things about Baylor. One has to do with the size, the classroom size, that, you know, dealing with our faculty and student ratios is very important to us because that's what the caring environment's about. And so it's on our, somebody brings it up every meeting to be cognizant of this.
The other thing I would say, so our endowment payout policies, we pay 5% out on our endowment on an annual basis, which is actually on the high end of what universities do. They tend to be more in the 4% probably on average. Yeah, some of them were much lower than that. Our investment returns this last year were the highest they've ever been, and I think they were close to 10%. I don't know if Dusty, I don't remember if what committee, are 10%. You on, is that about right? I don't know if you're on that committee or not, but so certainly if we earn more on it than we're paying out, we invest that back into the principal so that we can continue to grow the base of that endowment. What we spend that on, I mean, Joel gave you some general sense, but some of our endowments are restricted and they go to specific areas. So they might be restricted scholarship funds for a particular college or school. They might be an endowment to support a professor or a research fund. We have endowments to support missions. So if we have restricted funds, those payouts go to whatever it is the donor wanted that gift to go to. We also have people that give us unrestricted endowment funds. We love unrestricted endowment funds because that gives us the flexibility to direct those on a regular basis to wherever we have the highest need in the institution. So many of those would go to scholarships, but they might go to other things if we had needs in those areas. So address that? Okay, thank you.
So we have time for a couple of other questions, but I want to get one question for one of our prospective students coming in. And an opportunity.
Yeah. You're already accepted, go ahead, fire the hard one at the president.
So they're bringing the microphone, but I'm going to ask President Livingston while they're bringing the microphone. You and Brad, the first gentleman, eat on campus all the time. Mm-hmm. Where's the best place to go eat on campus?
Oh, geez.
These
I'll
are important
trouble.
Questions.
I get in trouble on this. Well, so my daughter and husband are at East Village tonight. But it depends on what you want and when you want it. So if you want Miss May's cookies, you got to go to Memorial, right? You got to go to Memorial. If you want, I don't know, they do like
omelets
at
Penland.
Okay, Penland. They have flying saucers at Memorial too. Those are very famous. East Village, they do Thursday night pancakes at East Village. I'm sure I'm missing some really good ones. So,
yeah, it's the schedule that
you've got to. Yeah, you got to know where to go when, and then when you go in the cafeteria, you can tell where the good food is because that's where the lines are. So yeah. Oh, but one of the things we did, I think it was Monday night, we did midnight breakfast at Penland for finals, and so from 10 to midnight, anybody could come in. They didn't have to swipe their ID. They got free pancakes and French bread, French toast and bacon and everything so that they would be fueled for studying for finals.
Good question.
So I was curious, there's been a lot of talk about endowment and whatnot, and you mentioned earlier in your presentation about the hope to become a tier one research university. That's what you're working towards. In terms of students, and I'm just personally interested in going into the medical field in the future, in terms of students who want to do medical research at the undergraduate university in the program, is that going to be something that's going to be at the forefront of your focus in the next 4 years, or is that more on the back burner?
Yeah. No, I mean, one of the things that we speak to fairly consistently when we talk about growing our research enterprise at Baylor is part of the value of doing that is it creates more opportunities for undergraduate research. And we know that the best students in the country want to have undergraduate research opportunities. And so as we grow that research function and have more professors doing more research, particularly in the STEM fields, more graduate students doing research, there will be many, many more opportunities for students like you to be engaged in those research opportunities as well. My daughter's not at Baylor, she's at Rice, but she's gonna have done probably 4 semesters of undergraduate research by the time she gets out, and it's been a profound experience for her, probably changed her career trajectory because of that. So I personally know how valuable that is, and we hear from our students regularly, and our faculty can speak very eloquently to why their research is helpful to the undergraduate experience. So I think absolutely in the years ahead, you'll see more of those opportunities.
I saw one hand in the back.
And there's one over here too.
Javon Cannon, I'm an alumni, graduated in 1987. Dr. Livingstone, I welcome you to the Baylor family.
Thank you.
Haven't had a chance to tell you that. And I want to tell you that I appreciate your plans for the Illuminate campaign. As a student at Baylor, one of the things that I cherish and took with me as I left there was the fostering of intellectual curiosity. And I credit that for my advancement in my career and where I got. And I think a lot of students come out of school when they graduate really not knowing really what they need to do when they start their careers. And I think that intellectual curiosity is something that helps people do that, and Baylor helped foster that in me. My question, though, is related to, I think, as I talk to other alumni and friends of mine that went to Baylor, that is really on their hearts, is that, and I know several years ago, after I graduated, the U.S. Department of Agriculture took over the regulation of mascots, and at some point they decided that only domesticated animals could be taken to football games and things like that. And so my challenge is, can you have Chris Holmes, your general counsel, start a lobbying campaign to the USDA to allow the bear to be exempted from that rule? And the reason I say that is because if a buffalo can be considered a domesticated animal, then a bear should as well. That's my...
We will pass that on to Chris. I will say we've had some very generous donors that have been unbelievably helpful in us creating, we call it a habitat now, it's a bear habitat. And we actually have land we take the bears to regularly off campus where they can run and roam and have space. And we are actually a certified zoo at Baylor to make sure that we're handling our bears properly. And we have a veterinarian that works closely with our students that are our bear keepers. And so we work very hard to make sure that we're taking good care of Joy and Lady, but we'll let Chris know that you want us to lobby the Department of...
All right. Yeah. All right. One last question we saw right over here.
To piggyback on what that gentleman said with regard to medical research, how is Baylor looking to coordinate possibly with the incubators that are going on in Houston with regard to medical research and stuff like that? And I'm an alum also, class of 86, and I think, yes, we should be able to have the bear. If the buffalo can run, the bear should be able. And just to let you know, my husband and nephew and I saw some of the retired Baylor bears at their habitat north of here.
Oh, fabulous.
And we're very pleased to learn that and see their habitat. So they're doing wonderfully, so just to let everyone know.
That's good to know. I appreciate that. Well, as we kind of build out our healthcare focus and particularly that research area, I'm not sure I can speak specifically to the incubators in Houston, but I know that we're really working with Baylor College of Medicine, working on building out that relationship so that we can identify joint degree programs that we can do either in Houston or in Waco that we both bring something unique to that alone we can't do. And then related to that will be looking at where there are research opportunities between Baylor College of Medicine and Baylor University, where our faculty can work together, our students can work together on many of that. And then I'm sure Baylor College of Medicine has some of those connections into those incubators. The other piece of that that's going to be important to us is working on our commercialization of technology and tech transfer expertise. That is something we do very little of. We've got someone we hired a year or two ago working on that, but it's really very nascent for us. And so we know Baylor College of Medicine and some folks in Houston are particularly good at that, particularly as it relates to medical research. So that's an area where we have tremendous opportunity, and not probably in the short run, but in the longer run, where there's revenue opportunities that can actually help us with the cost of education, help buffer the need for tuition increases. But we recognize in that medical research field, there's tremendous opportunity. We have some faculty doing some unbelievable biomedical research in cancer and cancer prevention, and in some other areas as well where there's going to be a lot of opportunity.
You mentioned the BRIC is also...
Oh, yeah. If you've been back to campus at all recently, we have a building that used to be the
General Tire
facility. And if you saw it now, you'd never believe it was actually a tire manufacturing plant, but it's called the Baylor Research and Innovation Collaborative, BRIC. And it's a partnership between us, the City of Waco, TSTC, Texas State Technical College, I think MCC is involved as well. And it's really designed to bring research together to incubate companies that can grow there that are doing interesting technology development and then spin those out into businesses. The City of Waco has got a couple of incubators in town. Some of those we're partnering on as well. So we're also working in the Waco-McLennan County area to build more of an entrepreneurial technology development culture as well, in addition to the ways we can partner into Houston and Dallas. And then we also have an angel network. I don't know if any of you participate in that in our business school, where we do angel investing in early stage companies. And they are about to have some pretty good success on some companies that they've been investing in for a number of years. So we've got some really interesting opportunities there. And I think there's a lot of potential there for us.
Yeah. top five entrepreneurial program in the country.
Yes, absolutely. It's a fabulous program.
So President Livingstone, thank you.
It's my pleasure. Appreciate you all being here.
Let's give him a big hand for the
thank you. Thank you.
And thank you all for coming. We could not be more pleased with how many people showed up, the interest tonight. Not a great weather night outside with the rain, so thank you for coming from all over the Colorado area to visit with us tonight. We appreciate you flinging your green and gold here in Colorado for us. So thanks for coming tonight.
Thank you.
And come get your selfie with the president.